Well, it is good to be with you today. Welcome to our first week of the new series called Road Trip, as we go on the journey that God has for us this summer through the book of Acts. And if you're like me, you love road trips. I know some people don't. I am one who loves road trips. I love to be behind the wheel. And our family has a tradition. We take road trips. It's the Great American Road Trip. We've taken a bunch of them. We've gone out west. We've gone out east. We've gone up north. I love it. And so I want you to know that God has a journey for you. He has a purpose and a plan, and he has a path. You know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says this. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. Listen, if you've given your life to Jesus and you're following him, this message is for you, and it's reminding you that you're called to go. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's Jesus speaking to his followers. It's the last thing he said before he ascended into heaven, which is go and make disciples. And we are called to impact the world and help people to see that they need Jesus, and that when they follow him, they make an eternal difference. We're called to go. And so I titled this message, How to Plan for the Adventure, because let me tell you, it's an adventure. It's often an unexpected adventure. I never thought that I would be a pastor. I never thought I'd end up in Lake Charles. In fact, it's the one place out of the entire globe I told the Lord, I'll go anywhere you want. Just don't send me to Lake Charles. And here I am, and what an unexpected adventure. And it's an awesome one. But just like a road trip, you got to get ready for it. Like, you got to prepare for that. I'm ready to go. If you know that you're going on a trip, you're going to pack things in. And as a dad with four kids, my wife and I, before any road trip, I mean, we were getting clothes together. We were getting bags together. We were making sure that we weren't taking too much, that we could fit it all in the van. Yes, we had a minivan for the longest time. And we'd load that van up and pack it up because we had a long trip. We're going to be driving for 21 hours. And then we get in the van and we get ready to go. We get in, and invariably somebody forgot something. Somebody had to go to the bathroom. Somebody forgot a blanket or a pillow or a stuffed animal. We forget something. Let's wait. And one of the hallmarks of preparing for the adventure that God has for us is that we got to know that it's a long haul. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And invariably, as we took off to leave, I got this from a good friend. He told his kids this. He's been a mentor in how to raise kids. He has amazing kids. And he just in passing one day said, you know, I always say this anytime we go on a road trip. And now I've said it so much, my kids won't let me pull out of the driveway without saying. They're like, Dad, say the thing. And I'll say it. I'll be like, we're off like a herd of turtles. And they laugh and they clap. And I think it's really funny. Well, what's the point? Well, there's a journey as we look at the book of Acts, which was written by one of Jesus's disciples, Luke, who was a physician. And it's all about the first church. And it starts in chapter 1 with this. Here it is. I'm going to read Acts 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, and after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised." And as I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem, he tells them. Because if you're going to plan for the adventure that God has for you, you've got to know this. You've got to really be willing to do this. And it's not something that we typically like. You have to be willing to wait. We're off like a herd of turtles. That means it's slow going and that it's going to take a long time, because as a father, I got tired of hearing those four words. I hated them. Every parent that's taken your children on a road trip knows those four words. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We were off like a herd of turtles. Turtles go slow. And let me tell you that the fact of the matter is the destination is what is not so much what God's concerned with. He's concerned with you trusting him on the journey that he's taking you on. And let me tell you, there's a lot of waiting. This is not like a feel-good, happy message, is it? Because waiting is something that if you're wired like me, you don't like to do. Like, why does a microwave take so long to heat food? 2 minutes to heat up my soup? Are you serious? This was yesterday, by the way. 2 minutes. And then I tasted it and wasn't. I had to put it in for 30 more seconds. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Because by nature, we typically don't like to wait. But one of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. And if you're following the Lord, you're probably experiencing or have experienced and guaranteed you're going to experience where the Lord tells you, just wait. Now remember, Jesus died and was resurrected and he appeared to a bunch of his followers and then he tells them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift as he promised. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That means his very spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be, you're going to be immersed and you're going to know the Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a guide. We're to be spirit led. And let me just tell you that God has no problems in making you wait. He can't actually make you. See, that's the crazy thing. All he can say is you need to wait because I have a Holy Spirit journey for you. Is your life spirit-led or is it you-led? That's a really legitimate question. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord your whole life and you have the Bible memorized. This is a legitimate question. Am I waiting on the leading of the Holy Spirit? Jesus tells his followers, don't leave Jerusalem until you are baptized. That means immersed with the Holy Spirit. Because we are called to live spirit-led lives. Listen, following God is an adventure. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's scary. It's difficult. There's dark times. There's times where we're always in the light if we're following him. But even in that, it can be hard and you don't know where what's going to happen. But you have to be willing to wait. Man, I wish everything that I wanted could happen all at once. Don't you? Yeah, that's not healthy though, is it? It's not healthy. If everything you ever wanted, you could have all at once, would that be good for you? Probably not. Probably kill you. You know, you can overdose on water. You can drink so much water that it kills you. I got my water in for the year. No, you can't do that. You're going to die. Because God knows the path and the plan that he has for you. My life first, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your steps. He'll direct your path. He'll straighten your path. Those are what the different versions of that same verse say. If you want to live the adventure that God has for you, let me tell you, preparing for the adventure means there's going to be some downtime. And isn't it like us to be, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because God's destination for you is to understand that life is about the journey. Look, for the next many weeks through the summer, we're going to be talking about the book of Acts. I'm going to be teaching out of the book of Acts. We'll have other communicators as well that are teaching out of the book of Acts about what it looks like to live the adventure that God has for you. You got to be willing to wait. I've been to the Grand Canyon multiple times. I've hiked the Grand Canyon top to bottom. Like it's a lot of waiting. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. 120 of them are waiting. 120 together in one place. Look at what it says in chapter 2, verse 1. So from the time that Jesus was crucified and resurrected to the time that promise in the Holy Spirit, it's a long time. It's a long time. Are you willing to wait? Look at this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, all those that were following Jesus, about 120 of them, were meeting together in one place. See, the Bible is very specific about things that we sometimes just read over, but I want to read that again. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were meeting together in one place. If you want to plan for the adventure that God has for you, you have to be willing to wait, but you've got to be sure to stick together. Who are you on the journey with? If your relationship with Him is so personal that nobody else is involved, you don't understand the biblical principle that two are better than one, that three are even better than two, and that we are called to walk the life that God's called us to live together. So remember, Jesus is saying, I've got a gift for you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your guide. He's going to be your comforter. You're going to be immersed, baptized in Him. And as they're waiting, 120 of them, they're waiting for this gift that He promised. They're waiting together. They're waiting together. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers are meeting together in one place. And suddenly, because things change in a moment, just like that. Because God's purpose and plan for you, we can wait and wait and wait and wait. But there is a moment where it's a tipping point. It's like the old game that I grew up as a kid playing. Don't spill the beans. They had the little cup on the little balancey thing, and everybody would put a bean, and the goal was to not spill the beans. But it was, you'd have a pile of beans, and there'd be that one bean that would tip everything. Then boom, all the beans fell. God tends to do that sometimes. There's suddenly moments like, ow, that's awesome and amazing. So many people want that, but so many people aren't willing to wait. And so many people aren't waiting together. You've got to be willing to wait, but listen to me, you got to stick together. You want the suddenly where God shows up? Are you willing to wait? Are you sticking together? Who are you on the journey with? I've done an awful lot of backpacking all over this continent. I love to hike alone, but it's not safe. It's dangerous. It is not safe to hike alone. It can be. Lots of people do it, but you better have precautions. You better let people know where you are. The fact of the matter is that it's better together. And there they were. The believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let me tell you, what happens when we are in the place where we're willing to wait, where we're sticking with other believers, when God shows up, the supernatural always happens because He's a supernatural being and He uses us to experience, not just for ourselves, the supernatural, but to impact the world around us. What happens? It says they're speaking in other language as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. So this happened on Pentecost. It's the Jewish festival of Shavuot. Shavuot is a Jewish festival that celebrates Moses on Mount Sinai being given the word of God, the Ten Commandments. That's what Pentecost is all about. And yet on this very day, because the believers were willing to wait, because they were sticking together to the promise that Jesus made to them, instead of receiving the Ten Commandments, they're receiving this gift, the very Spirit of God that empowers them supernaturally to declare His goodness and live the life that He's called them to and make a difference in the world around them. This is so cool. And so as they're meeting together in a prayer meeting, like there's like a rushing wind that rushes over them, and it looks like there's fire above their head. And when they open their mouths to go, wow, that's crazy, what's over your head? What comes out is in another language. They're speaking in a tongue that is not their own. And as they're freaking out, I would imagine, I don't know if they are, but I'd be pretty like trippy. This is kind of wild. This is supernatural. As they go out into Jerusalem itself, down from where they're meeting, in the room that they're meeting, as they go out into the people around them, when they begin to open their mouths, a different language is coming out. But the Jews who were in Jerusalem for that festival where they were required by Jewish law to come to Jerusalem. It was one of the three holy days where they had to come. They were coming from all over the world, speaking different languages. And yet in that moment, they heard the truth of Jesus in their native tongue. Wow. When we're willing to wait, when we stick together, when we anticipate God's supernatural spirit drenching us. Wow. Lives are transformed. Well, what would happen? What would happen? All these people from all over speaking different languages, they're all Jews. They're coming together to celebrate the giving of the law. And what they hear is the truth about the word of life, who is Jesus. And then something happens. Because now remember, Jesus' disciples are there. All the followers are there. Something happened. Verse 14, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd. Listen carefully. All of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people aren't drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is too early for that. What you see was predicted long ago, and he begins to tell them about who Jesus is. And that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. And here's the result. He's saying, verse 32, he said, God raised Jesus from the dead. We're all witnesses of this. He's telling the truth about Jesus. In verse 36, he says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Verse 37, so powerful, because when we are ready to go on the adventure that God has on us, when we're willing to wait, when we're sticking together, when we are sure to stick together. But here's the third thing. We got to be ready. We got to be ready to step forward. We have to be ready to step up and step out. And when we do that, and we allow God to use this mouthpiece, to use these hands, these feet, and we begin to speak the truth of who he is the Savior of the world, but he's my Savior. And he died for you, and he loves you. This is what happened in verse 37. Remember 36, he said, let everyone know, God made this Jesus that you crucified, Lord and Messiah. Verse 37, because Peter was ready to step up and step out. Remember, it says Peter stepped forward. Peter's words pierced their heart. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? See, this note makes no sense. Peter basically reads in the riot act. Hey, Joel said, you can read this in chapter 2, starting with verse 14. Remember, I jumped a bunch. He's like, hey, Joel says that this is going to happen. And then, by the way, you guys crucified Jesus. Look what y'all did, but he really was the Messiah. He rebukes them. But because it was the Holy Spirit at work through all of those believers present, all 120 of them. But when Peter stepped up and stepped out and spoke God's word, it pierced their hearts. He said, hey, brothers, and they said, what should we do? This is what Peter replied. Verse 38, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want the adventure that God has for you? I want you to know, yeah, you got to be willing to wait. You got to be sure to stick together with other believers. You got to be ready to step up, to step out. You got to, like Peter, step forward and speak. But you got to know it's also not about you. Because God wants to use you to bring life to the people around you. That's what this is about. God is a God of light, and he's a God of life. And this is what every one of those 120 people there were a part of. They waited. They waited together. And when the moment came, Peter stepped up. He stepped out, and his words pierced their hearts. Your words, your actions, maybe you're one of the other 11. Maybe you're one of the other 100 and some odd people that were speaking in another language and people heard it. God will use you. And what an adventure. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never thought we'd have a big old church with a bunch of people whose lives have been transformed because they encountered Jesus. And let me tell you something. It is not about me. It's about him. He is so good. God is so good and so faithful, and he redeems. And even when we have relished in our sin and in effect crucified him again, remember Peter said that Jesus that you crucified, he's the Savior. And maybe you're going, what do I need to do? Really simple. Repent from your sin. That means turn away. Turn to God. Let him cleanse you. Be baptized and cleansed. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the gift of the Holy Spirit is so much more than one singular gift. If you think that, oh, well, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit is tongues, well, that may be a part of it. But the greatest gift that he gives you is the freedom from sin in Jesus so that you can live the life he created you to live. Maybe you're here and you go, what do I do? What do I do? I had somebody last week ask me this in my office. What do I do? Turn from your sin and your way. Turn to God. Follow Jesus. Let him cleanse you. And yeah, you want to make a public statement? You want to solidify that? Be baptized. Maybe you're asking that question. I want to pray with you if that's the case. Let's pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah and the Savior. I turn from my sin. I repent. I turn from it. I turn to you. I turn to you. I receive your forgiveness. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that and you meant that, that's a brand new day. That means that you go from spiritual death to life. That's like being born again. That's what Jesus said, because you went from spiritual death to spiritual life. I want to help you in that journey. I want to connect you with relationships and resources. What's your next step? I would say, be baptized. Get connected with somebody. Listen, you know how to do that with us. You can click on the link in the chat box underneath. You can go to the website. You can call our office. I just want you to grow. And this is the first step of it. The first step is like you're pulling out of the driveway on the road trip. Follow him. He's got a great journey and an awesome destination for you. Love you guys. See y'all next week. God bless.